Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to Fixed Price Q1 2021 Operating Results Conference Call. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. Let me caution you that this presentation includes statements that are or may be deemed to be forward-looking statements with respect to the financial condition, results, operations, and businesses of Fixed Price Group Limited. These forward-looking statements can be identified by the fact that they do not only relate to historical or current events. Forward-looking statements often use such words such as plans, targets, aims, believes, expects, anticipates, intends, estimates, will, may, continues, should, and similar expressions. By their nature, forward-looking statements involve risk and uncertainty because they relate to future events and circumstances, a number of which are beyond Fixed Price Group Limited's control. As a result, Fixed Price Group Limited's actual future results may differ materially from the plans, goals, expectations set out in these forward-looking statements. Fixed Price Group Limited assumes no responsibility to update any of these forward-looking statements contained in this presentation. The information and opinions stated on the call are provided as at the date of the call and are subject to change without notice. It should be particularly noted that some of the financial information relating to the Fixed Price Group Limited and its subsidiaries provided on the call has not yet been audited, and in some cases, based on management information and estimates. Neither Fixed Price Group nor any of its agents, employees, advisors intend to or have any duty and obligation to supplement, amend, update, or revise any of the statements provided. Without further ado, I would now like to pass the line to Elena Mironova. Elena, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Michael. Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to today's Fixed Price first quarter 2021 operating results conference call. With me today is our Chief Executive Officer, Dmitry Kirsanov, and our Chief Financial Officer, Anton Makhnov. Our results release issued today can be found on our website at ir.fixedprice.com in the press releases section. Now it's my pleasure to turn the call over to Dmitry Kirsanov. He will update you on the Fixed Price first quarter performance and the current trends. Dmitry Nikolaevich, the floor is yours.
Hello. Thank you, Elena. I'm pleased to welcome you to Fixed Price's first conference call as a public company to discuss our Q1 2021 operating results. We began a new chapter in our history a little more than a month ago when Fixed Price successfully completed the largest IPO in the history of Russian retail. With our new status, we are pleased to welcome all our new shareholders and all members of the investment community. To our customers, Fixed Price embodies the value retail market, and we are proud of the results we have achieved in the 14 years since the company was founded. Our accomplishments are backed by a business model that enables the company to deliver sustainable results across the business cycles and combines strong growth with attractive shareholder returns. First, a few words about our key highlights for the quarter. Our company achieved excellent results in the first quarter of 2021. Our performance is in line with our expectations and creates a solid foundation for further growth under the strategy we disclosed at our IPO. A key achievement in the reporting period was the continuation of double-digit like-for-like sales growth for the 17th consecutive quarter. We're also on track with the geographical expansion of the Fixed Price network, both in our key markets of Russia and also abroad. In the first quarter, we opened stores in 47 new cities and towns. In terms of the development of our price matrix in the first quarter, we introduced two new price points of 249, 299 rubles, which enabled us to expand our product offer to customers. This also gives us additional flexibility in the current macroeconomic context, given ongoing ruble volatility and logistical challenges. I will return to this topic a little bit later. I'm happy to note the launch of our loyalty program in Belarus. Tens of thousands of Fixed Price customers signed up in just the first few weeks. The launch of the loyalty program will be an additional driver of like-for-like growth in Belarus and will support the robust expansion of the program across the entire network. Now, I would like to take a more detailed look at some key indicators for the first quarter of 2021. Total revenue of 52 billion rubles was up 29% year-on-year, driven by a 31% increase in retail revenue and a 16% increase in wholesale revenue from our franchising business. Strong growth of retail revenue was driven by the buyout of franchise stores last year. Adjusted for the effect of the leap year in 2020, total revenue growth exceeded 30% year-on-year. To remind you, in February 2020, we had 29 days. The main drivers of retail revenue growth were new store openings, which increased the total retail space managed by Fixed Price by 21.3%, as well as like-for-like sales, which grew 11.9%. As planned, we accelerated the pace of expansion of our retail chain. Net openings in the first quarter totaled 187 stores, up from 166 a year ago. Most of the openings took place in our primary markets of Russia, where 143 new stores were opened. In Kazakhstan, we added 21 stores, and in Belarus, 12 stores. Thanks to the buyout of franchisee partners last year and a greater focus on developing the network of the company-operated stores, the share of franchise stores decreased from 12% in the first quarter of 2020 to 10% in the current reporting period. And now, moving on to like-for-like metrics. Like-for-like sales grew 11.9% in the first quarter of 2021. It was driven, first of all, by a 15.2% increase in the like-for-like average ticket, which in its turn offset a 2.9% decrease in like-for-like traffic. Adjusted to account for the leap year in 2020, like-for-like sales would have grown by 13.4%. We are pleased with the continued strong growth in like-for-like sales in the first quarter, which exceeded all our expectations. The categories that delivered the strongest results included clothing, stationery, holiday goods, and toys. The share of food that decreased during the lockdown when demand shifted towards non-food items is now approaching normalization, which provides additional support to traffic. In terms of a month-by-month breakdown of the results, it stands to note that in the wake of excellent performance in January, when like-for-like sales increased by 17%, there was a degree of pressure on some metrics in February due to abnormally cold weather and continued COVID-related restrictions, as well as the leap year effect. It is also worth noting the high baseline effect from March 2020, when consumers were stocking up on major necessities and protective equipment shortly before the lockdown in Russia. Despite this, we saw positive results in terms of like-for-like traffic already in March 2021. The average ticket throughout the network also increased from 240 rubles in the first quarter of 2020 to 282 rubles in the reporting period. Thanks to our ongoing work to improve the customer experience, the addition of new wow effect products to enhance the treasure hunt experience that our customers love so much, and the introduction of new price points. A few more words about the development of the loyalty program, which is an important factor supporting like-for-like growth. More than 1 million people joined the program in the first quarter. The total number of loyalty cardholders is now over 12.5 million. The share of loyalty program purchases in total retail sales rose to 41% from 32% last year. The average ticket using the loyalty card is 403 rubles, which is 1.7 times more than the average ticket for purchases made without a bonus card. Moving on to trends in 2021. In terms of trends in April, we should keep in mind the abnormal situation from last year when we saw a surge in sales in March, followed by a collapse at the beginning of a lockdown in April 2020. This is confirmed by the fact that we're now seeing in April a reversal of the March trend. Like-for-like sales growth in the first 2 weeks of April exceeded 40%. Among dominant macroeconomic factors, we would note the weakening of the ruble, the rise in raw materials prices, and the dislocation of the logistics markets. At the same time, a robust business model and flexible price point structure helping us to adapt to changing market conditions and, most importantly, to offer our customers unique products at the lowest prices. I would like here to touch briefly on the topic of logistics. The situation in the logistics market is far from normal after a sharp jump in prices for imports from China in the autumn to winter 2020. In April, transport costs decreased slightly as compared with March, but the crisis in the Suez Canal created an additional deficit. The Russian market for non-food products is highly fragmented, and we expect the current situation to affect the many smaller players, retailers, distributors, and importers the most. Thanks to our streamlined procurement process and centralized logistics system, Fixed Price has not experienced any supply interruptions during these months. All of the volumes were imported just as planned. Our strong position in this area enables us to take an optimistic view of further plans to increase our market share in terms of non-food items. Before we move to our Q&A session, I would also like to touch on the development of our digital services. In April, we launched a pilot project with Sber Market Food and Goods Delivery Service in Moscow, which allows us to deliver fixed price and purchase it to our customers within an hour. We see this as an excellent opportunity to improve our level of service at a time of high demand for this option from consumers. Summing up the results of the reporting period, I would note that the key growth path lies in the organic expansion of our network of successful offline stores and improving our like-for-like performance based on our advanced operating and IT infrastructure. This enables us to maintain our position as the clear leader in the variety value markets and to remain the fastest growing publicly traded retailer in the world, focusing on delivering attractive returns to our shareholders. That's basically it. Thanks for your attention. I would like now to hand back over to the operator.
Thank you very much for the presentation. We'll now be moving to the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please press star 2 on your telephone pad and wait for your name to be called. If you're dialed in via the web, you may also ask a voice or a text question. So we'll now give a minute or so for the questions to come in. Thank you. Our first question comes from Mr. Henrik Harps from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, thanks. Hey, thanks very much. I had two questions, please. Firstly, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the additions of new price points. And anything you can give. I know it's really early, but anything in terms of traction of new price points, and also how you think about the rollout of further price points beyond this. I think rolling out two price points this year is probably a little bit a faster rate of additions than we've seen in previous years. And then secondly, your basket growth has been very strong. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what is driving that and whether it's more items per basket or a higher price mix. And if it's more items, if you can give some color on what those additional items are, if you're seeing a skew of the basket towards any particular category. Thanks very much.
Dmitry Kirsanov, taking the question. Let me start answering your threefold question. First of all, the first part. Now, new price points. Now, our position in terms of the previous month has not changed. I mean, it hasn't changed since last month. The two new price points, 249 to 199 rubles, were introduced not according to our plan. We hadn't planned to do so, but seeing the current situation in the markets, the displaced logistics, and foreseeing the challenges that our peers and the overall food retail space would face, we saw an opportunity to introduce these two price points to expand our customer value proposition. Indeed, this is now too early to talk of any results or performance that we have achieved having introduced the new price points. I can only give examples of some items and categories where new price points materialized and share some experiences. First, according to the customers in home decor items, we were able to start selling feather pillows at 299 rubles, and the average market price is 500 rubles and above. And there is some indeed exhilarated feedback from our customers. Wow, I can't believe that I can buy a feather pillow at below 300 rubles. So mostly the sentiment, the feedback is positive towards the new price points. And so to the new SKUs in these categories. Talking about the like-for-like ticket growth here, we see an increase in number of items per ticket and also the average price per item on the ticket. This is driven by the right use of the tools that we have mentioned. This is addressing the assortment mix within our categories. This is handling our price points. This is striking the right balance between low and high price SKUs. This is basically it, I think.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Just a reminder for additional questions, star 2. Our next question comes from a Russian line from Elena Juranova from JP Morgan. Your line is open. Please go ahead, Elena.
Yeah. Hi there. Thanks a lot. I get a few questions. Let's start with the logistics markets with the challenging situation. A month ago, you shared the guidance during your IPO. You did take into account the situation. It didn't come as a surprise for you, so you factored that in. Is that right? Answer, yes, indeed, this is right. Oscar, so this situation will not lead to any deterioration in your margins. Is that right? Just a second, over to Anton Makhnev to tackle this one.
Hi, Elena. Let me answer your question. So with regards to the overall, you know, margins and performance, we're sticking to our IPO guidance, which we gave during the roadshow. So no change in that regard.
Okay, thank you, says the Oscar. Now, then I have another question on the change in your assortment mix in Q1 2021. This has got back to normal, so to speak. I mean, the FMCG share increased somewhat. Shall we expect any deterioration in your gross margin on a year-on-year basis, say, as compared to Q1 last year? I understand that you are not going to share quarterly breakdown, but likely we will see a downtrend in gross margin in the first half this year. Is that the right understanding?
Thanks, Lena. It's a great question. So with regards to our gross margin in general, I would like to reiterate what we have been saying all the time and during our roadshow as well, that gross margins are not the right KPI for our company, and it's not something that we are aiming to achieve at all times. So there might be some minor insignificant fluctuations in our gross margins during the year. It's totally normal because we are aiming to maximize our absolute EBITDA and absolute net income, and it may be achieved through either higher like-for-like or higher margins or a combination of those two.
That's great. Thanks. Got it. And then my last question. Could you please disclose your franchising revenue from the stores that you bought late last year, or at least shed some color as to its impact on your Q1 growth? I mean, not selling space growth, but rather revenue growth. Are these newly acquired stores more productive in terms of revenue generation? Thank you.
Unfortunately, it's not something we have in front of us at the moment to disclose these numbers, but in general, it's worth noting that we, in Q1 last year, we bought out around 20 or something franchise stores. So during the course of the whole 2020, it was about 100. So the number of such stores is highly material with respect to our overall store count. Therefore, any addition in terms of their sales, because we also discussed previously that our sales densities for our stores, company-operated stores based outside of Russia, are somewhat higher for than versus comparing with our company-operated stores based in Russia. But as the number of stores we bought out is fairly insignificant, the overall impact on our revenue increase, I would call it de minimis.
Okay, thank you very much, and congratulations on your great performance.
Thank you very much. We are just going to give one last chance for final questions for the call. That's star 2 for any additional questions. We'll give a minute or so for any additional questions. Thank you. We have a question from Mr. Marat Ibrahimov from Gazprom. Please go ahead. Marat, your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. Very simple question. If, given the fact that last second quarter 2020, last year, the like-for-like sales growth decelerated quite significantly versus first quarter, given the low base effect, shall we expect acceleration of like-for-like sales in second quarter this year? What do you think?
Well, I think the answer will be just as simple. We're also looking forward to that. To remind you, in the lockdown of April, May, and subsequent months in 2020, our retail chain kept operating without any restrictions or closures. So in April, I think the like-for-like effect will be the highest in terms of like-for-like sales and like-for-like average ticket, because in the first 2 to 3 weeks of April saw the strongest restrictions, lockdown restrictions last year, so we saw the highest outflow of customers, and in the upcoming months, everything will be within our guidance that we announced going forward for 2021.
And could you please remind me or reveal this guidance? I mean, like-for-like and top-line growth, what's your expectation for this year?
Yeah, sure. Over to Anton to tackle this one.
Our guidance with regards to like-for-like is around 10% for 2021. Then with regards to the top line growth, it's not something that we were giving guidance on. However, we were giving guidance on our net store openings for company operated stores and our franchise stores in total. And that's about 700 stores this year on a net basis.
Thank you very much. Also, have you provided guidance on EBITDA margin and gross margin for this year? Thank you.
On gross margin, we were not giving any guidance for exactly the reasons which I explained to Yelena, answering her question. And with regards to our EBITDA margin, we gave the guidance that we expect it to be comparable with our historical levels.
I.e., around 19% on IFRS 16, right?
We were not given any numbers.
Okay. And a question on consumers' behavior. Given the ruble weakening, have you seen any changes in behavior? Have they shifted their focus on low price items, for example, or vice versa? What, or they are reducing basket size, something like that?
Well, based on what we're reporting, our customers have not reduced either average ticket nor the basket. Indeed, real disposable income has softened, and so we see rather some changes in the consumption mix. To a larger extent, this is related to sales within categories, just in a nutshell. We saw in 2020 a brisk demand for household chemicals. Now the demand got back to normal. Now we see before the Russian Easter and the summer season, we see a higher demand for Easter-related goods, holiday goods for the Easter, and gardening goods that are needed for our customers in the upcoming summer season. Talking about sales within price points, it doesn't matter which price point we talk about, 50 rubles or 249 rubles, the price with fixed price anyway remains the best one in the overall retail space in Russia. So globally, we can't see any changes in customer patterns. Demand for fixed price goods is equally strong.
On and final question on imported items, since ruble got weaker, recently, how do you manage your retail shelf prices? Do you move this item to another price category, or what? How do you cope with that? Thank you.
Well, we have a great variety of tools and instruments to mitigate the risks related to greater cost of goods sold. This is assortment management, and our assortment is very quickly rotating, which helps us deliver new goods, new SKUs on the next shipment, which will meet the requirements of our customers and fit in the right price category. On the other hand, meet our margin needs. So every incoming shipment is basically about the creation of new goods, new SKUs, which helps us manage cost of goods sold. Certainly, we use such instruments as moving SKUs between price points, but we try to deploy these less frequently, and also we always market to market, so to speak. We check out the market, we keep a close eye on the market. What is important for us is to remain, to keep offering the best price within the retail space in Russia. Also, talking about imported items, we actively use hedging instruments, forward contracts that make us safe, helping us mitigate foreign currency purchase expenses.
And I would like to add to what Dmitry just said, is that what we are doing now is not any different from what we have been successfully doing over the last 13 years, because Russia is generally a country with a rather volatile FX. So what we are doing now is not new at all.
Okay, thank you very much. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. Our final question comes from Mr. Paul Steggers from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you can hear me. I have two questions. The first is on working capital, probably one for Anton. I know it's only one quarter, but can you just maybe give any color on cash generation, inventory, creditors, debtors, I presume it's all still on track. And, you know, as you highlighted in the IPO and as we've seen historically, you're sort of working capital neutral. Any changes to that view also for the year and what you're seeing so far? And the second question is on the tax rate and the withholding tax on dividends. You know, prior to the IPO, you were thinking about changing the incorporation and moving to a normal structure that could then remove that withholding tax on the dividends. I was just wondering if you can give us an update on that process and a timeline potentially for that happening. Thank you.
Sure, absolutely. With regards to your first question on net working capital, there is some intra-year seasonality in working capital performance. So, what we are seeing in Q1, and typically there is an expansion in working capital, which is then reversing later during the year. It's totally normal, and it's in line with the historical performance of our net working capital we have seen in the previous year. So this year is not any different from that perspective. That was your first question. With regards to your second question on the withholding tax, as we were saying earlier this year, we are currently doing some work with our tax advisors, and we are planning to ask the Russian Ministry of Finance for some clarifications on some quite contradictory messages they gave in their last few communications. And once this situation is cleared, then we will be able to move forward with a potentially new corporate structure. With regards, in terms of the timeline, it's something that I expect will be happening during the course of this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm seeing no further questions. I will pass the line back to the management team for their concluding remarks.
Okay, thank you once again for joining us today. And as a reminder, we will be reporting our first half financial results in August, and we look forward to speaking to you all then. In the meantime, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team through the contacts on the website with any follow-up questions you may have. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. We'll be concluding the call right now.